Amen.
Well, good morning, Syracuse Alliance. We are continuing with our study on spiritual gifts, and we are having some difficulty with the slides and the projection, so we'll just roll with it if anything doesn't work right. Will you pray with me one more time? Heavenly Father, we surrender our hearts and our lives to you, and we surrender this moment in our service where we go into your word, and we pray, Father, that through your Son, Jesus, and your Holy Spirit, we would receive greater manifestation and revelation of who you are and of your power in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been looking at spiritual gifts, and I want to review a little bit for everyone. Just as a reminder, because if you're like me, even from last week, it's hard to remember sometimes what I preached myself. And for those who may not have been here. So in 1 Corinthians, a book in the New Testament that talks about spiritual gifts, and we're not talking about the gifts like, God loves us, God has given us family, God has given us, things. He gives us peace. We're talking about spiritual abilities that God gives to us to be able to serve him. So in 1 Corinthians, we looked at this verse last week, where it says in chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God works all things in all persons. So, last week's message, we looked at this verse first, and we saw, okay, there's a variety of gifts, variety of ministries, variety of effects. Variety of gifts, meaning the different abilities that the Holy Spirit gives to us to serve him. That there's not just one kind. There are many different gifts. We said in the Bible there's about 21 total gifts that we can see mentioned. But that's not a complete list. The Holy Spirit is infinite. There's many things that he can give to us. Many of the gifts that maybe Paul didn't need to experience in his life that we might need to experience in 2022. And there are a variety of ministries. That's a word for service or ministries. Different ways that those gifts get used. Depending on the gifts you have, that will determine the ministries that you have in the church. The ways you serve in the church. And there's a variety of effects or results. In the NIV, the New International Version, it says there's a variety of works. But it's the result of that gift working. So all different things. They all have different parts, and we are all part of one body. They are all meant together to build the body up. And we saw how, even though there are different gifts, we saw how it also points to one God. There's one Spirit doing the giving. There's one Lord, Jesus, that is ministering and working through us or serving through us, and there's one God doing the work. So that's where we were. That's what the first part of last week's message. And then we dug into this verse, 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given the word of wisdom. Now here's the first gift mentioned, the word of wisdom, through the Spirit. And to another, a word of knowledge, or the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. So, just to review from last week, we saw word of wisdom, having good and sound judgment. Wisdom and counsel, like counseling, go together. So, the gift of wisdom isn't necessary. It's having the ability to understand the situation and be able to give good counsel and advice. We looked at Joseph as a good example of that, how he was able to lead Egypt through a very difficult time. And I mentioned that this is one of the gifts that God has given to me, that I know that because, not because I have said it, but others over my life have commented that about me. So the things people say about you, the phrases, the slogans, the descriptions you get over the course of your life, they describe who you are. So if people describe you as being smart or wise or knowledgeable, and so you can look at that and say, okay, well, maybe this is something God has given me. And even, we know I said there's variety of gifts, they're not all the same. I realize I don't have wisdom in all situations. There are certain things that I am gifted at being able to give good advice and counsel, and it mostly has to do with relationships and dealing with people. Like if you ask me, if you have a small business and you want to know how to plan out your business and have a business plan and a model that will give you success in 5 years, I'm probably not the guy to ask. because that's not an area where God, like the wisdom that God has given me really doesn't translate into those kind of areas. That's why the elders know many times when we're talking about where directional, I know where we want to go, but a lot of times I don't know the steps on how to get there when it comes to planning out a strategy. But when it comes to relationships and interacting with people, that's where God has really gifted me. And I've seen that over my life. I'm not going to get into details. But one of the things we didn't mention last week, which I want to bring out this week, are the cautions that we need to have. What are the cautions with the gift of wisdom? Well, we fail to hear God for yourself. You fail to hear God for yourself. Now, this is not the person who has the gift of wisdom. This is everybody else. And I'll give you an example. My father-in-law, Christy's dad, was also, when I was dating her and getting to know her in the youth group, getting to know the church, they kept talking. My youth pastor would talk about him as being just this wise person. And he's really quiet. So he just, so the quiet people, normally when they do speak, everybody tends to listen. So early in our marriage, I realized that he had given me some advice, and I followed that advice, and it didn't work out so well. And he gave me some other advice, but I was going to him and asking him, what should I do? And he gave me his opinion, and I did it, and it didn't work out so well. And after the second time, a word of knowledge, right, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Tony, the reason it's not working out is because I'm wanting to teach you that even though your father-in-law is wise, his voice has become my voice for you. You're not coming to me to ask me. You're going to him. So the caution is, even if you have someone in your life who does have wisdom and can give counsel, you still go to God and hear from the Lord and confirm everything through Scripture and through your own time with the Lord. Amen. So, next is the word of knowledge. We looked at this last week, which relates to facts and information, right, through study and experience. So knowledge and wisdom, they're kind of related, but knowledge has to do a lot more with study. It's a lot more about the studying, the being in the Word, or knowledge of a certain subject, which goes very well with teaching and being able to communicate information. But here, one of the cautions on the part of the person with knowledge can be pride and immaturity. So especially if there's immaturity. Pride, because the Bible says that knowledge puffs up, right? So if you have the gift of knowledge, if you have, and if you're like, if you've watched Jeopardy, or I don't know how people can have so much knowledge of so many things and just retain information. And it's like they hear it once and they never forget it, right? That gift of being able to obtain knowledge, but that can also build you up or puff you up. And if you have immaturity in the one who has the gift, then that can also hurt the church. All right, so then we went into the next one, which is where we left off and where we're really going to jump into today, which is the gift of faith. It says, to another faith. So he gives to one the gift of wisdom, to another the gift of knowledge. And we said that there are words of knowledge. Now let me go back to for a moment, because I just to give some examples of, it says word of knowledge. And so knowledge of information, wisdom to be able to counsel, but it says the logos of knowledge, or the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. And many believe that to be kind of related to the gift of prophecy, which we're going to get into later, where God reveals something to you supernaturally. So let me give you a couple of examples that I didn't give last week. And so one is a friend of mine, the pastor in Atlanta. He was preparing a sermon, working on his sermon preparation, praying, and the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, I don't remember the member of the church, but he said, I want you to go to so-and-so's house. So he got up, he was in the sanctuary kind of rehearsing his sermon. He got up, he left the sanctuary, went to his office, picked up the phone and called, but no answer. And the Holy Spirit said, I didn't tell you to call. Now, he just heard this in his heart, right? He heard it in his heart. I didn't tell you to call, I told you to go. And it was so strong that he got in his car and he drove. And the family lived very close to the church. As he's pulling into the church, the wife is in the parking, is in the driveway. She's in the doorway. She comes around. She's on the phone. So that's why she couldn't answer, because she was already on the phone. And she's frantic. And he gets out of the car. She says, Pastor, how did you know? How did you know? Know what? And she says, my husband, he's passed out. I think he was having a heart attack or something. And how did you know? You got here before the ambulance did. That impression, that word of knowledge where the Holy Spirit just revealed to him, get up and go, you're needed. Another example, personally, I had led a prayer gathering like 3 days at Crown College in Minnesota. And it was amazing. We had like 15 to 25 students over 2.5 days. I spoke in chapel and students were coming to the altar and it was awesome. And there was a spiritual breakthrough and it was amazing. A couple of months later, I went to NIAC here in New York, near New York City. Very different environment. And did exactly what I did at Crown in Minnesota. But they had set up everything differently, and God was moving, but it was like I was completely out of the loop. I wasn't hearing. I was praying. But I wasn't hearing God. I was struggling. And for 3 days that I was there, I was frustrated. The last morning, I'm there, and I'm praying, and I'm with one of the professors, Ron Walborn, and a couple of other professors at a Starbucks where they would go into a back room that the Starbucks would allow them to go into, and we would have coffee, and they would pray. So they asked me to join them, so I'm praying with them. And I just shared a little bit of my frustration on how this, I mean, God's moving, but it's nothing like at Crown, and I'm just, you know, and I'm not, I just don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm not hearing God, and then Ron takes a step forward, and he says, Tony, at Crown, you looked good. But in NIAC, God looks good. And as soon as he said that, it's like, again, like Saul on the road to Tarsus, right? The scales fell off, and God be just this overwhelming, just release of God's presence. And that was a word. I don't know, again, I don't know how Ron understood it or knew it. I don't know if he just said it. But either way, when he spoke that, God had given him the words to communicate to me that he was allowing me to see that he needs to be humble and he needs to be all about God. So, those are some examples. Now let's get back into to what we're talking about here, faith. Another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another effecting of miracles. And last week we looked at this word another. So to one he gave wisdom, to another he gave faith, and to another he gave knowledge, and to another he gave faith. I forgot to bring up my three cups to illustrate again, but the word another here is different than the first two. So the first one, he says, to one he gave wisdom, to another he gave knowledge, but that word another is another of the same kind. So it would be, to one he gave wisdom, and to another he gave a gift just like wisdom, same kind of gift, but to another, but that word is different. It's a different word for another. It means another, but different than the other two. He gave faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, and to another the effecting of miracles. And that's what we're going to dig into now. So faith. This is where we left off last week. Different kind of gift than the first two. And it's faith to believe that God can speak and work in and through us. God can speak and work through us. And we were talking about this in with some friends this weekend in our small group. And we're thinking, you know, it seems weird that faith would be a gift. Don't we all have to have faith? Yeah. Isn't it impossible to please God without faith? Yes. Right. That means we all need to have faith. And without faith, we can't even be saved. For we have to believe in him. So it says, yes, there's, to that degree, we all need to have faith to be saved. So then this gift of faith must be something different than the faith to believe. And it's different than the first two because look at the gifts that come next. Gifts of healing and of miracles. So if I have the gift of wisdom, Pete asked me for advice, and God gives me a word of understanding of how to counsel, that doesn't take a whole lot of faith compared to if he comes up to me and he has a tumor. Or here's an example. I was in, I can't remember if it was Peru or Colombia. I think it was Colombia because my wife was with me in Peru and I don't remember her being with me on this trip. There were 10 preachers. We were preaching in different places every night, like crusades, campaigns, right? Crowds would come, open air preaching after we're praying for people. A father comes up with his daughter, so maybe 10 years old. She's blind. And the father says, "Will you pray?" Whew. That takes a lot of faith. And the Lord didn't open her eyes that night. But I got to tell you, I don't know that I had the faith either in that moment when I walked up to pray. That takes a lot more faith than just giving a lesson or giving some counsel or some advice. So that's what I believe this gift of faith is. And someone said, Richard, I don't even know how to pronounce the last name, so let's just call him Richard. He said this, the great Christian revolutions come not by the discovery of something that was not known before. They happen when someone takes radically something that was already there. Right? It's not a new, we don't need a new revelation. It's not that God needs to show us something we've never seen before. It's that we need to believe what he has already said. Right? And that's what faith is. So, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, the next chapter, where it talks about love. And it says that there are three things, right? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Well, let's look at those three, faith, hope, and love. Faith that God can, right? Faith is the belief that God can do it. He can change our situation. He can answer. Hope is that he will do it, right? I have hope and love even if he doesn't. So in relationships, it's like this, or in life. I have faith that God can answer my prayer. And I have hope that he will. But I'm going to love him, even if he doesn't. Right? Love is the present. It's the situation that we're in. We're saying, okay, I'm going to love either way. And here's what, you know, when Jesus says, that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, right? Tiny, tiny, tiny little seed. If you have just a little bit of faith, you can move mountains, right? So a little bit of faith can move mountains. That this is the type of faith we're talking about, but there's something unique about faith. And here's one of the dangers, like we're talking about cautions. One of the cautions or dangers about this and about faith is that if God doesn't answer our prayers, some people say, you must not have enough faith. And they'll say, if God didn't answer, it's because you lack faith. That's one of the things we need to be careful of. Because faith is at the same time what moves mountains and what strengthens us when the mountain doesn't move. God is going to move every mountain. It's not God's will to move every mountain out of our lives. There are mountains we are supposed to climb. And it's the faith that we have in God. Remember, it's love even when he doesn't move the mountain. So faith is what I have enough faith to believe that this mountain can move, but I have enough faith that if it doesn't, I can still climb the mountain and receive what God has for me. So to some, he's given the gift of faith. And then to others, right, another, gifts of healings. And it's plural there on purpose. In your translation, it only says gifts of healing, but both of those words are plural, gifts of healings. And there's a lot of debate on what that actually means. Why? Because this is the only one where he puts gifts. So, because he says, to one he's given wisdom. So he uses gifts at the very beginning. The Holy Spirit gives a variety of gifts. To one, he's given wisdom. He doesn't say to one he's given the gift of wisdom. He says to one he's given wisdom, to another knowledge. We understand that it's a gift. To another faith, to another, and then he says the word gifts again. Gifts of healings, to another miracles, to another prophecy. But when it comes to gifts of healing or healing, he always puts the word gifts before it. I can't tell you exactly that I understand exactly why Paul does this, except that it seems to be saying that there are a variety also of gifts of healings. So that it's not necessarily maybe a particular area. Like I've realized, again, I've been in ministry long enough that I can understand that, or I can look back and think, okay, God has answered prayers for physical healing that I have prayed over the years. I've prayed for many more. It's kind of like they say, you know, you miss most of the shots you don't take. I've prayed for many more people for healing than have been healed. But when it comes to emotional healing, because the word healing here means to be made whole. It's not just a physical healing. It means to be made whole. So when it talks about, let's put this here. So it's the only one that is made plural, and it's to be made whole, which means emotional and spiritual healing. And over the course of my ministry, I've seen some physical healings, but I've seen many and many emotional healings. People finding wholeness and identity, even if their physical issue wasn't resolved. So I realized, okay, well, God has gifted me more in healing people's hearts than their bodies. And I'm okay with that. But I know that he can also use me to heal people's bodies, but that's not the main gifting or way he wants to use me. And again, I'm okay with that. But it doesn't stop me from asking. But when we talk about, the dangers and the cautions, because there are cautions we have to have with each of these gifts. So when we look at them, one is, in the last century, you've probably heard this term. Maybe some of you haven't, but it's the term faith healer. You heard that term, faith healer? You know, the Oral Roberts or the Benny Hinn's or those who do crusades, and the main focus is healing. And they'll fill out stadiums. And it's mostly focused on the individual as having the gift of healing. And they're called, faith healers. Well, A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, you know that our denomination, we believe in Christ, our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. He experienced the healing power of Jesus, even when he didn't believe that it was possible at first. But he said this, "We do not claim to be healers and wonder workers, but simply witnesses of the power to do all he has promised." The power of Jesus to do all he has promised. So he was very careful. Even though God was healing a lot of people through the Christian Missionary Alliance in the early days. There was a movement of healing in the Alliance. But he was very careful to say, don't look at me. He wouldn't allow people. And he says, if anyone did come to him, like going to him, wanting to be prayed by him, wanting his hand to touch them, he would not pray for them. Or he would try to avoid anyone who just simply wanted him because they felt there was a special anointing upon him. But I'm going to tell you, A.B. Simpson believed strongly in healing, in the power of healing, and he was pretty radical. So we need to be careful of the abuses that come along with it as well. And here's part of it as well, Jesus healed, and here's why I think the gifts of healing, this is another unique thing about this particular gift. That it says to some, right, to another gifts of healing, but then you have to look at all the context of Scripture. So we're not getting into every point or every Scripture that talks about healing or particular gift. We're looking mostly at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. But there is an important passage in James, chapter 5, verse 15, where it talks about praying for healing. And it says the prayer of faith is powerful and can heal the sick. But he says if anyone is sick, let him call the elders. And the elders will anoint them with oil and pray for them. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick and their sins will be forgiven. So in James, it's not talking about a gift of healing. It's not putting it on the apostles or the prophets or any gift, because we don't see elders as gifts, but more as positions or roles in the church. And he's saying that the elders have spiritual authority to pray for the sick, and they can be healed. So we look at gifts of healing as, okay, there might be a manifestation, because when we talk about manifestation, when we read that, it's when the Holy Spirit shows up and something happens. So I think that's another reason why it says gifts, plural. Because it's saying that the Holy Spirit, almost like popcorn, like you talk about popcorn prayers. When we talk about popcorn prayers, you're like, somebody pray here, somebody pray over there, somebody pray here, somebody pray over there. There can be a gift that the Holy Spirit gives you, which kind of is on you most of the time, 24/7. But then there's also manifestations to where God can give you faith in a moment to pray for someone who needs healing and heal them. And then next week, he'll do it through somebody else. So this week, it could be Beth. And next week, it could be Ruth. And next week, it could be Dave. It could be somebody else. So it's not that it's a regular gift you have all the time, but that the Holy Spirit uses whoever he wants to. And now let's get into the next one, which is the gift of miracles, which I thought was fascinating as well, because I didn't really focus on this very much. I don't think any of us really do, which is the effecting or working of power. The effecting and working of power, and asking the question, how often did these wonders happen? The effecting and working of power, and wondering how often do these things happen? So, and how are they different from healing? Healing would be a miracle, right? Healing is a miracle in itself, but yet here it talks about other miracles. So these would be anything that would be not healing in particular. It would be the parting of the Red Sea. That's a miracle. Changing water into wine. That's a miracle. Multiplying the fish and the loaves. Nobody was healed, but people were fed, right? So those are miracles. So Paul is separating the two and saying there's the healing is a miracle, but God does other miracles. And there are those that have the faith to believe God for those miracles. Now, again, one of the cautions here also that I didn't bring up is that faith can sometimes become just optimism and wishful thinking to where we believe when it becomes personal more than anything else. And then when it doesn't happen, we get disillusioned. We get discouraged because I really thought God was going to heal my dad and he didn't. Right? So we need to be careful that we're grounded in God's word and we have that faith, hope, and love. Even if God doesn't answer, I will remain faithful. But here when we see miracles, again, how often do they happen? Here's another thing, a caution. We can't look at the scriptures in the Bible and book of Acts and think that this was happening every single day. I mean, there are some examples of God moving powerfully in the book of Acts. But they can't write every single story down. And there's a documentary called Father of Lights that came out a few years ago, where they went around the world, mostly in India, and they were in Israel, and they were documenting the move of the Holy Spirit, like miracles and God doing supernatural things today. And it's about 2 hours long, I think two and a half hours. Some amazing things happen. But then there are, you know, reviews and people commenting and saying, well, you know, they're only showing the answers. They're not telling you all the times that God didn't answer or God didn't heal. And obviously, they're just trying to criticize, but it makes sense to me. Again, I always try to look at the other side. If I'm recording a documentary, I might have hours of film, hundreds of hours of film that I got to bring down into 2 hours. You can always make a little disclaimer. Hey, you know, there are many people that God didn't heal, but these are some of those that he did. I mean, if you have to bring down hundreds of hours of film into just 2 hours, you're going to show all the highlights. There were probably other healings that they couldn't even fit into the documentary. Well, when we look at the Old Testament, when we look at the book of Acts, and it talks about the little boy who fell out of the window and died, a two-story fall, and Paul prays for him, and he rises up, and he's alive again. Let's not assume that was happening every single day in Paul's ministry. Because sometimes we read it and think we should experience this every single Sunday. Like we should see people, and God, there are moves where God does that. Because in Acts 19, it said that God was working so powerfully in Ephesus that he was doing incredible miracles. Now this is his last missionary journey. And God is doing more in this last journey than he had done in the first two, that Luke, who had been with Paul and seen some amazing things, is like, I can't even believe what I'm seeing now. So we want to understand that God can move and do miracles, but it's also not necessarily something that is like every single day that they were experiencing it. But we shouldn't let that discourage us either. I'm going to give you some examples from an Alliance pastor. His name was Richard Harvey. And he wrote a book called 70 Years of Miracles. And in one of them, so he tells a few, many, many stories. First of all, he wasn't supposed to live. His dad was a pastor. He was born. The doctor said he's not going to make it. Father got on his knees, cried out to God. God gave him a promise, and his baby lived. And that happened like four or five times in his first 5 years of life where the doctor said, he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. Every time the dad prayed, his father prayed, pastor, and his son lived. His son ended up becoming a pastor. His name was Richard Harvey. And he talks about there was a professor at college named Dr. Lee who taught chemistry. Some of you may have heard the story. It's a famous flask story. He talks about this professor who would stand in front of the class during some of the lectures about science, and he would challenge the class. He had done this for 11 years. He would hold out a flask, like a beaker you would use in science and in chemistry. And he would hold it out, and he'd say, I want you to understand that there is no God, and if there is a God, he cannot answer or does not answer prayers. So I challenge any of you, before the Thanksgiving break, the end of the lectures on prayer and on spirit, on God, I am going to hold this flask out and drop it. And it'll hit the ground and it will break, as it has done the last 11 years. But if any of you wants to pray for God not to let the glass break, I will give you a chance to do that. Then he puts it down. He goes on with his lectures. It's approaching the Thanksgiving break. The student is convicted. And he decides that he's going to take him up on this challenge. He found one other Christian on campus and asked him, will you join with me in prayer? Because he remembered the verse where there are two or three gathered and agree on something. So the day comes. The professor gets up, holds out the flask. And he says, okay, is there anyone willing to take the challenge? Student stands up. And he says, this is interesting. Because so far, 11 years, not one student had taken the challenge. Not one student had dared to pray. And the teacher says, okay, I want you to understand something. In a moment, I'm going to let you pray, and I'm going to hold this out, and I'm going to drop it. And I assure you, it will break. I mean, he's putting doubt into his head. And he says, and not the prayers of your parents or the prayers of your Sunday school teachers or even the prayers of your pastor can change that. But if you like, we can wait till after the Christmas break so you can get them all here to pray with you. I mean, he was mocking him. And then he says to him, okay, he accepts the challenge, and he says, the professor then took the glass flask and held it out in front of him over the cement floor. Now, I ask you to pray, if you still want to do it, that this flask won't break. After you pray, I will drop it, and I can assure you that it will hit the cement floor and break into hundreds of pieces, and that no prayer can prevent it. Do you still want to pray? Yes, Dr. Lee, I do. Well, said the professor, this is most interesting. And turning to the class, he said sarcastically, now we will be most reverent while this young man prays. Then he turned to the young man, now you may pray. The freshman just lifted his countenance toward heaven and prayed, God, I know that you can hear me. Please honor and the name of your son, Jesus Christ, and honor me, your servant. Don't let the flask break. Amen. Dr. Lee stretched his arm out as far as he could, opened his hand, and let the flask fall. It fell in an arc, hit the toe of Dr. Lee's shoe, and rolled and did not break. There was no movement of air, and there was no open window. The class whistled, clapped, and shouted, and Dr. Lee ceased his annual lectures against prayer. He goes on and tells other stories of some of one where he was doing radio programs, and he was talking about how God was healing people in his church. And another local pastor comes to him with a woman who was sick. And he says, because the woman that was sick had cancer. The doctor gave her 3 weeks to live. Go home, get your things in order. You've got maybe 3 weeks. So she calls her pastor and says, will you pray for healing? And the pastor told her, I'll pray for you, but honestly, I don't have that. The pastor was honest with her. He said, I don't have that kind of faith, but I'll take you to any other pastor that you think might have that kind of faith. And she says, well, I've heard this guy on the radio talking about healing. I'll take you to him. So the pastor takes this woman, who has 3 weeks to live, to Pastor Harvey. And she says, I've heard you talking about healing. And he's like, well, do you believe? And she's like, well, if I didn't believe, I wouldn't be here. And she's, you know, real sarcastic. But he prays for her. She goes home. She's lying in bed. And she's lying there. She's still feeling sick. And she says, God, I believed. I believed that you would heal me, that you could heal me. And she heard God say, then get up. Stop lying there. And she stood up, and immediately strength came back into her body. And he gives one more story in that same church where he says it was about midnight, somebody banging on his door, saying, come. My mother, you know, she's dying. She's had been really sick. The pastor goes to her house. He says, I laid there by her bed for an hour praying. After an hour, he says that the smell of the infection under the sickness was so bad that it was making me sick. I went back into the living room and was just walking in the living room praying. When she calls me back in, they said, Pastor, my mom wants to talk to you. So she comes back in and she says, I know that I'm going to be leaving soon, and I don't want to face Jesus with the criticisms that I've had about you and that I've voiced, right? The gossip that I've said and things I've said about you to other people. And I want to ask you to forgive me. And the pastor says, I forgive you. And as soon as he said, I forgive you, as soon as she confessed, she started to gag. She grabbed the pail that was next to her bed and she started to vomit this. He says it was the nastiest stuff that came up. She spit it all out and she got up and she was healed. And this is, and I want to make sure that, you know, this is an alliance, Pastor. So that we can understand, this is our background. These are our guys. So as we pray, here's some of the things that I want to say. We'll end here. If we're going to pray, let's pray, number one, if it's according to the will of God, the Father's will. That's important. Because it's always thy will be done, not my will be done. And that's not a cop-out. Because Jesus prayed that before he went to the cross. He said, Father, if it's possible for me not to have to go to the cross, but not my will, your will be done. Jesus taught us that. It is appropriate and spiritual to pray, Father, if it is your will. Second, if it is your will and it brings glory to God and exalts Christ, right? So when I'm praying for healing or praying for a miracle or praying for someone to come to Christ, I say, Father, if it is your will and if this would bring glory to your name and if it would exalt your son, Jesus Christ, and if it would build your church. So even as I'm praying for the spiritual gifts, I'm saying, God, will you pour out your spirit on Syracuse Alliance? Will you give gifts to Syracuse Alliance? Will you do it if it is your will, if it brings glory to your name, if it exalts Jesus Christ, your son, and if it will build your church, then, Father, will you answer? Because it's not our will. It's not for us. So let's stop there. And let's pray that. What is it that you're asking God? Ask him for it. And will you just say, Father, if it is, this is what I'm asking. This is what I've been needing. And I pray for the faith to believe that you can. The hope to believe that you will. But to love an assurance that I have in you, that if the mountain doesn't move, to have the strength to climb and go through it. And as I pray, Father, for this miracle or this work of my need, I pray that you would only do it if it is according to your will for my life. That you would only do it if it would glorify your name and exalt Jesus Christ, my Savior. And if it would bring glory and if it would build and strengthen your church, the body, and reveal your glory to a lost world. Give us faith, Father, in Jesus' name.